And the mattress is big, but the bed goes out further than the mattress. And boy, I kicked that thing, my toe. And I'm falling all over the bed. Oh, I'm about to die, you know. And I'm saying, there must be blood. I'm sure there's blood. There's blood all over the show. And she's saying, honey, are you okay? You always do that. I said, I know, you think I'd learn. And I was so sore. And I'm lying on the bed, put the light on. I want to see the blood. So I check it in the light, and the skin's like scratched off. I've got big pieces of skin hanging, but no blood. And it was sore. But you know what? Had the light been on, that wouldn't have happened. The Word of God is a light. It's a lamp. You need the Word of God to keep you on the right path. I'm telling you, without the truth of God's Word. Amen. Okay, forget about my tone. I keep going. I didn't know he was here. Oh, Lord. Praise God. We're a happy church, aren't we? Do you love the people around you? Do you love your neighbor? Turn to the people and just say, hey, you're okay. I love you. Come on, turn to someone and say, I love you. And so, listen. Receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit is a real, life-changing experience. It is real and it's life-changing. You understand? Remember, let me just tell you one other time. Think of this. When Jesus got baptized, remember Jesus got baptized in the Jordan River? Matthew 3, 16 and 17. You can remember that quite easily because John 3, 16 and 17, you all know that, how God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, right? Well, Matthew 3, 16 and 17 talks about the baptism of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says when he came up out of the water, up out of the water, not sprinkled on the forehead, when he came as a grown person up out of the water, okay, from the waters of baptism, hello, representing salvation. You get saved first and then you get baptized. Hello, come on, according to the scriptures. Jesus came up out of the waters of baptism, and John said, I saw the Holy Spirit as it were as a dove descend upon him, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now remember this. Remember this. Listen to me. Don't face the devil on your own. Don't ever face the devil on your own. Now listen. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, but his Father first got the Holy Spirit on him and affirmed him as his beloved Son. True. Some of us send our kids out into the world with no affirmation, no dedication, and no pleading the blood and asking the Holy Spirit to abide and fill them. He first did that. And Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights was tempted. And then at the end of the temptation, the devil left for another season. So, I just want to say, the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon our lives, he is going to change. It's life-changing. Everything. And I'm talking when you're endued with power from on high. Not the day of salvation. The day of salvation, you're set for all of eternity. The day of power is when the Holy Spirit is received. And I'm going to show you, he's received. He's not commanded, not demanded. You have to receive him. He's a gift. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have to receive salvation. It's a gift of salvation. I can turn salvation away. You can give me a present at Christmas time and you can wrap it with all the frills and all the stuff and put the ribbon on the thing. You can give me the best looking gift in all the world and I put it aside. And I don't open it. And what, you know what's inside there? It's a brand new iWatch that I've been waiting for and I need. Or a brand new iPad. How good is that watch or that iPad in the box for my life? I need it desperately. And it sits in there. I don't open it. I don't receive it. It's no good. Well, how good is the Holy Spirit when you don't receive him? And the Bible even says, stir up the gift on the inside of you. Amen. So Christianity is not merely a variety of glorious ideas. Is not merely the performance of rituals and ceremonies. Amen. We get into so many rituals and so much traditional religious thinking, and we nullify the power of God with our thinking, with our words. We can make the Word of God, the all-powerful Word of God, null and void in our own life. Can you say amen? So it's the life-changing experience of the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and He's accepted and received into our life and into our heart.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
CARCOM Incorporated is a WCNO corporate sponsor serving community organizations, state and local governments, and small businesses since 1981. CARCOM operates analog and Kenwood Next Edge digital radio systems and is the original authorized Kenwood land mobile radio dealer in Palm Beach and the Treasure Coast. Whether you need job site radios, event rentals, or a fleet of mobiles on an area-wide system, CARCOM has equipment to meet your need and fit your budget. CARCOM, available today at 800-734-3609 to discuss your needs.
Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series, Understanding Your Triggers and Avoiding the Trap of Offense. Before today's teaching, I'd like to tell you about two exciting ways you can give during the holidays. Did you know that right now you can give to a specific outreach of your choice? You can designate your gift towards any cause near to your heart. Second, be sure to check out joycemeyer.org/greatest gift. This is a fun and interactive way to have a weekly Bible study with friends or family, and at the same time, see opportunities to reach out during the Christmas season. Thanks for your support. You're truly making a difference. Now, here's Joyce with today's series, Understanding Your Triggers and Avoiding the Trap of Offense.
All right, I've been doing a series this weekend. If this is your first, how many of you, this is your first meeting out of the four that I've had? This is your first one. Okay. Well, you missed a lot. But hey, you can buy the CDs. I'm doing a series this weekend on offense, how to get rid of the spirit of offense in your life. Not taking offense, not giving offense, not being offended by trouble, not offending the Holy Spirit, and also keeping strife out of our lives. Keeping strife out. Now, offense, the definition of the word offense in the Greek, it says it's the part of the animal trap on which the bait hung that lured the victim into the trap. So literally, Satan uses offense. Somebody comes along and they offend me, and now I put a wall up and I'm not going to have a relationship with them anymore, and I go around feeling sorry for myself all day. Guess what just happened? Satan has just invited me into his trap, and I went right in, and the rest of the definition says it is a stumbling block or a hindrance to us. So when my heart is full of offense, I don't grow in God during that time. So if we want to really have spiritual maturity and grow in God, if you want to get a lot out of it when you go to church, don't go in mad. Don't go in aggravated at somebody and mad at somebody, and especially don't sit and listen to some preacher that you're already mad at and you're gossiping about behind the scenes. Amen? All right. And strife, oh boy, strife is a whole nother level. Offense is like a little hangnail. Strife is what you get after the hangnail has festered and become infected, and now it's starting to really make you sick. That's why it's important to take care of these little offenses, little things. Little foxes spoil the vine. You hurt my feelings. Well, just stop all that. Don't even say, you hurt my feelings. Say to yourself, I got my feelings hurt. It's my responsibility. Amen? But now strife is defined as bickering, arguing, heated disagreement, and an angry undercurrent. And I think the part that's the most scary to me is the angry undercurrent, because that's when everybody kind of knows something's not right, but nobody's dealing with it. You can feel it in the atmosphere. You can feel it between a husband and wife. You can feel it between parents and their kids. You can feel it at work. You can even feel it in the church. Amen? And so today we're going to talk about three things that the Bible says causes strife. You see, a lot of times you can't get rid of the root until you deal with the fruit. And so we're going to kind of back into this message, first looking at how important it is to learn how to live in agreement. And in order to do that, we have to learn how to disagree agreeably. Amen? So we're going to look first at Matthew 18, 19. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything that they might ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Do we even begin to realize how powerful that is? God says, if I can find just two people that can get along and get into agreement and really walk in love, the power of their prayers is ramped up to a whole nother level. And whatever they ask, I'll do it for them. My, my, my. Psalm 133, the entire psalm, which is only a few verses, so don't feel like you're going to faint. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity. Verse 2. It is like the precious ointment poured on the head that ran down on the beard, even the beard of Aaron, the first high priest, that came down upon the collar and the skirts of his garment, consecrating the whole body. Now, when they were anointed back in those days, they didn't just dab a little oil on them like we do today. They took a bottle and poured it on them. We had a guy at our office, powerful man of God, who deals with the underground church in China. Been in prison so many times. I mean, you could just tell. I mean, he's just got power all over him. And so I asked him to pray for me before he left, and he pulled out this big vial of oil, and I thought, uh-oh. Uh-oh. He looks like the real deal. And I said to his assistant, because this guy didn't even speak English, so I thought, I can't communicate with him. So I said to his assistant, I said, he's not going to pour that on my head, is he? He said, no. So thankfully, he dabbed me too. But the point is they weren't into all that back then. You got anointed, and it ran down your beard, your hair, and all over, and just covered your whole body. So this is saying that unity is like the anointing. I want you to get a hold of that. Some of you maybe don't really understand what the anointing is, but the anointing represents the presence and the power of God in your life. Amen? I do what I do by God's anointing. And let me tell you something. We all need to carry an anointing. You just don't need an anointing because you're in ministry. You need an anointing to raise kids. You certainly need an anointing to be married and stay married. Amen? And then the next verse says, it is like the dew of lofty Mount Hermon and the dew that comes on the hills of Zion. For there, they are where? They are where there's unity. The Lord has commanded the blessing, even life forever, upon the high and the lowly. So, if you have unity, you're going to have anointing and you're going to have blessing. If there's unity in your home, you're going to have an anointed home and a blessed home. If there's unity in your church, you're going to have an anointed church and a blessed church. And people, I mean, some people may come to a church and stay there because there's a great speaker, but I tell you what people really want is the anointing, and they don't even really know what that is sometimes, but it's just like it makes everything good. Just makes everything good. And so certainly Satan works endlessly to do everything that he can to try to get everything full of strife. The business full of strife. The marriage full of strife. The church full of strife. The worship team full of strife. The leadership team full of strife. The kids in strife. The school in strife. And I'll tell you what, in our world today, this is actually one of the hugest problems that we're dealing with. And so I'm going to take that scripture and I'm going to turn it around for you, because this is exactly what it's saying. Where there is no unity, there will be no anointing and there will be no blessing. So we have to fight for unity. And I said the other night that when we started our ministry, God spoke three things to my heart. And I didn't know what I'm telling you now, so this was God giving me direction. He said, there's three things I want you to do, and if you do these things, I'll be able to bless you.